after having so many experiences that I thought it was worldly, so many confidence boosting experiences that's on the same old campus that I knew like the back of my hand. And of course I enjoyed the senior festivities. But I was so excited just to get out again, to be in the real world again. So in May I graduated cum laude from Mount Holyoke. And I started looking for jobs. I started looking for jobs particularly in cities. And I also started looking for jobs in which I could help other people. That was my main concern. Making sure I could help others be advocates in whatever way suited them, whether that was self-advocates, political advocates, lobbyists, disability advocates, counseling. And I looked in cities. I looked where I knew I'd have the most success with public transportation, with opportunities, with friendships, with networking. And I built up several connections with the Disability Law Center in Massachusetts. I built up a couple of connections in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. My mentor when I was there was the Director of Civil Rights at the Department of Labor, which definitely had its advantages. And utilizing those connections, I discovered that ultimately at this point in my life, I wanted to go into disability advocacy work. Whether that was being a policy analyst, whether that was working with clients on an individual basis to make sure that they had referrals for the services that they needed, or whether that was mentoring on an individual basis. I spent the summer of 2019 just traveling, relaxing. I went on a cruise to Bermuda. I went to Las Vegas for a convention. I just spent time reflecting and figuring out what I wanted to do. When the fall of 2019 hit, I was applying for jobs every day, making sure that I was putting applications up. I had several interviews, a couple jobs that I wasn't qualified for, but it gave me experience. Even when I was discriminated against and never heard from an employer because I disclosed that I was blind, I still kept going. I still kept trying. And I think that was the hardest lesson for me to learn, that everything isn't always a piece of cake. At least in college, I had the disability office to support me, to have my back. I had BESBY. But in the real world, you can't always convince employers that you're worthy. So I finally understood what it's like to get knocked down and truly have to get back up again in the real world. Eventually, in early 2020, I believe it was February, a friend of mine and a connection that I'd made over the years sent me a job opportunity. And this was the Director of Outreach and Engagement at the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind. And I thought to myself, there's probably a bunch of people out there with more experience. But I'm going to go for it because I think I'm young and I can bring fresh new perspectives. And ultimately, after interviewing in Harrisburg, I received a job. Of course, my interview was March 13th when the world began to shut down. And that was an experience of its own, as we all know. What that meant, as in terms of the job market, is my job was put on hold. I couldn't obviously move to Pennsylvania in the middle of a pandemic from Connecticut. I was stuck at home thinking about the fact that, wow, I finally got this job. I'm finally ready to start my next chapter. And now I don't know when it will happen. But I didn't just lay down and cheat. During the pandemic, I finally, after being told by BESBY more times than I can count, but then about cooking and the importance of it, but then going to college and really eating on the dining hall because we didn't have kitchens, I finally understood, now I really, really need to practice cooking and invest in that skill. So during the pandemic, I spent long hours in the kitchen with my mom, painstakingly learning family recipes, relearning everything that all those skills that had kind of gone stale over the years because I hadn't utilized them. finally, in July, when things opened up a little bit, I could set my sights up moving. I'd applied to an apartment on my own. It got me an apartment, and I was all set to move in August. So I finally moved to Pennsylvania in August. And once again, I was facing the challenge. Moving to a brand new area, a brand new state, several states away from my home, not knowing a single person in the area, story of my life. And having to adjust to life in the pandemic as a blind person, trying to make connections and trying to assert herself. So for most of those months when I couldn't interact with people and I wasn't fully vaccinated and I wanted to stay safe, keep those I love safe, I had to do everything independently, Uber independently, taking lifts independently. I really focused on my cleaning, my cooking, making sure that even though the world outside was crazy, at least my apartment looked nice and at least I could feel satisfaction. If I couldn't make social connections now, at least I would have the time management and the cleaning and the cooking down by the time that was able to occur. So as of now, almost a year later, now being fully vaccinated, I'm able to start taking those chances. I'm able to now go to my pool at my apartment complex, just strike up a conversation with a total stranger, start meeting people that way, get on social media platforms and go meet up with friends that way. And that has been impactful. Just again, learning how to time manage, learning how sometimes a lot of great things that we hope to accomplish have to come in phases. And it may not feel the best in the moment, but everything does come in time if you're just patient and if you persevere and commit to your goals. Now, that's a bit about personally, as far as my job is concerned, as the Director of Outreach for the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind. My job is very versatile in that for 1 hour of the day, I could be talking to an individual. For example, maybe a wife of someone who has just had a stroke, who has lost all their sight and suddenly is without anything that they used to know. And that wife and her husband are scrambling to figure out what they can do to help them adjust, especially right now when there are no in-person services for the most part. Telling her how to use a white cane, trying to send her as many YouTube videos as I can, referring her to a social worker, referring her to agencies and nonprofits that can help. And that's one of the more common scenarios I deal with, helping people who are so vulnerable and so sad and so confused find their ways out of those desperate situations and giving them hope. And my goal after all those calls is to put a smile on the faces. If that's the least I can do, I'm happy. That's my favorite part of my job, is making sure that people have the resources, the services, and the referrals that they need to live independently. Or at least to know that your life isn't over once you become blind or once you have a disability. Apart from that, and apart from providing individual services, I partner with other organizations. Here in Pennsylvania, we have what are called, we have agencies affiliated through the Pennsylvania Association for the Blind. They are a nonprofit that provides a lot of services like transportation, assistance with grocery shopping, assistance to doctor's appointments, community events, things like that. For each county in Pennsylvania, there's several of those agencies. Most counties have one. So making sure that I'm partnering with those agencies, seeing how we can support one another, seeing how we can build our membership, combine our mentorship services with making sure that we're referring those in need to those organizations. A lot of what I do is also working with the libraries for the blind, making sure that reading material is accessible. Working with community partners who aren't familiar with blindness about educational and awareness opportunities so that we can make Pennsylvania a more inclusive space for the blind and visually impaired. Speaking to senators and representatives about legislation that could impact the blind and visually impaired, such as the Exercise and Fitness for All Act that would enable exercise classes and equipment to be accessible from proactively rather than as an afterthought, or the high cost of prescription drugs, or improved paratransit services. So that's a bit from the legislative side. And other than that, it depends on the need. When vaccinations became common, and there's more of an organized system, and people with disabilities could finally be eligible and have an accessible way to get those vaccines, I was advertising the ways that they could get to appointments, the ways that they could call and ask about vaccines and make sure that they could put their health first without access barriers. Still focusing on mentorship opportunities, especially for older people, those 65 and older, who are losing their sight. And because of the digital divide that this virtual environment has posed and created, a lot of those older people who haven't used technology in their entire lives are being left behind, because not only now do they have to learn how to use technology, they have to learn how to use assistive technology, the screen reading software, and things of that nature. So a lot of my job is involved making sure that they're up to date, making sure that even if we have to call them every day to make sure that they're clued in on our discussion calls, on our conference calls, on any mentorship and community building activities, that they're included. On a larger scale, what I hope to do, and probably the biggest undertaking of my job at this time, is building a statewide mentorship program. And I have to give a lot of the credit of this idea to Besby, because I kept thinking, where would I be without the mentors and the support I'd have from Besby? Where would I be without the opportunities to mentor others? And I want to create a large-scale program for that in Pennsylvania. So through my efforts, I'm hoping that we can get a lot of interested participants from colleges and universities through contact with their disability offices, and pair them with middle school and high school age students. So I've already been in contact with all of the intermediate unit special education directors. And I'm continuing to build that network so that as many blind and visually impaired people in the state of Pennsylvania can have those resources available to them. So I'm addressing people from a young age to adulthood to elderly, and making sure that no one is left behind. And I think that's the best part of my job, is the ability to make sure that no one feels vulnerable and isolated and alone, whether it's because of the pandemic or vision loss or blindness. And that's a bit about where I've been, where I've come from, and where I am now. And I hope that I can continue to make Besby proud in the future. I hope that I can continue my education either in law school or either a master's in rehabilitation counseling or public policy. I hope that I can carry your mission on to make sure that blind and visually impaired people are supported. I hope that I can mentor others to teach them the lessons that you have taught me and Besby has taught me, and make sure that I'm continuing to live the most fulfilling and independent lifestyle that I can. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Melissa. Thank you for being who you are. Your story is incredible. Just speechless on. Wow. Very inspirational how your self-determination and self-empowerment, and how you want to empower others with visual impairment and blindness and not let anybody be left behind. Is incredibly inspirational, and I want to thank you very much for sharing your story with us. We are very proud of you and all the work that you're going to do in the future as well.
Thank you.
Woohoo! Have any other comments?
Any questions, too, I'm happy to take.
Well, Alyssa, this is Brian Sigmund, and I echo Dawn's words. She stole it from me. Wow. Honestly, your story, your accomplishments, everything you've presented today, it's just incredible. I can see why you were hired into a director level position that rapidly. Congratulations to you. You have most certainly earned it. You truly are an inspiration, and I'm just so thrilled that the staff of BESBE were able to share a part of your incredible and very productive journey. And I know we'll be hearing great things about you as your future proceeds. So thank you.
Thank you. And also a huge shout out and thank you to Charlotta. We didn't know each other for very long before I moved, but she was so amazing in making sure that I was supported and getting the assistive technology I needed for my job, and making sure that I was supported even when coming here. Even when leaving, I felt supported in walking out the door. So thank you so much to BESBE and to Charlotta and to everyone who has helped me along my journey. And I hope that anyone on this call can pass on my thanks if you know any TBIs or if there are any TBIs here. Thank you.
Alyssa, this is Philip McGelnick.
Hi.
Hello. I just want, as everyone just heard, I think Melissa is the most remarkable young woman I've ever met, notwithstanding my kids. But spending time with her on Capitol Hill, having long conversations over the years or text messages, and then being honored to write a letter of recommendation for a current position, I couldn't be prouder of you. And I think you're destined for greatness. You're already there, but I think there's much more to come. So congratulations again. It was great to hear you on this, and pleasant surprise.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Comments from Alyssa? We do have some comments in the chat I wanted to read from some people for you, Melissa.
Okay.
Here. Okay, so I think I'm starting with the first one. This is from Beth Rill. I'm sorry that I have to leave for another meeting. Thank you for sharing your story, Melissa. I don't know if you remember, but you participated on our CT Youth Advisory Board Mentor Panel a few years ago at UConn. We'd love to have you again. I'm not sure if this is appropriate and is accessible in chat, but she wanted us to share this with you.
Great.
I'm glad I saw that to share this with you. Okay, so another chat says that somebody else had to leave, Jennifer Jenkins, for another meeting. She said to please excuse her. And Melissa, you are a very impressive, accomplished young woman. And that was the message. She said, thank you for sharing your story. Can someone please read this message to Melissa? Thank you. Okay, and what an amazing success story. That was from John Junkin, I think. Sorry if I mispronounced your last name, John. Okay, I think that was it in the chat. Again, thank you, Melissa.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you all. And if there's any way I can support BESBE or be of assistance to anyone, please let me know. Part of my heart will always be Connecticut, because that's where I was born and raised. That's where my family still is. And anything I can do to give back and to offer anything I can, I'm always happy to do so.
Melissa, I'm sorry. This is Deb Reed from the NFB. I just wanted to tell you that listening to you gives me so much hope and so much courage going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to hear from you.
Hi, Melissa. This is Lucretia. What an amazing, amazing, inspiring story. And I love the fact that throughout your journey, you didn't let your blindness define who you are. You used that to empower you. And your attitude was quitting is not an option. And I just love your journey. And we wish you the best. Congratulations to you. You are the person for that job. And great job you have done and is ahead of you.
Thank you so much. That means so much. And yeah, I'm never going to lie and say there aren't difficult days. And there's definitely some lessons I'm still learning and some ways I can continue to adapt and evolve. But overall, I try to make sure that the positive outlook and attitude overpowers the negative and overpowers everything I still have yet to conquer. So thank you so much.
Melissa, this is Charlotta. I just wanted to say thank you. I was very inspired by your story. I had not known your whole story because you and I really only met after you graduated from college, and we had a number of VR counselors who were involved with you during your high school and your college transition years. But it's been really great hearing your story. You did a wonderful job describing everything, and very inspirational, and I'm so glad that you were able to come and talk today.
So thank you so much.
Would be to coordinate this multi-state effort to work with employers people have a presence in all of these states. Many employers do have a multi-state presence, and also with virtual employment, there are several employers where borders where you live doesn't impact on your ability to go for the job. So we would be coordinating our outreach effort to these employers and also offering to solve any accessibility challenges they have, including scripting, if scripting needs to be done in order to make voice software like JAWS work with their company software. This would be built into it as well. So we're waiting to hear if we're going to get one of these grants, and we're certainly hopeful. I also want to let folks know that after about a year of working on this, in collaboration with the Department of Transportation in Connecticut, they were able to receive funding that will make it possible for the IRA technology to become available at no cost to clients of BESBE to assist Department of Transportation in assessing whether the IRA product is able to enhance and increase access to community transportation and also community access. There should be something coming out fairly soon on that for folks that are interested in getting the IRA technology downloaded onto their smartphones and also to participate in that research study that DOT will be doing. So we're very excited about that. And in terms of the budget, I just wanted to say that I had been reporting that our biggest challenge these past year and a half has been expending funds. Seems that, you know, the State Rehab Council previously had to work quite diligently on how we could preserve our funding, and we risked going into an order of selection for quite a number of years. But when COVID hit, the number of providers that either closed their doors for a period of time or shifted over to virtual services meant there was far less to expend funds on. So as a result, we actually find ourselves in a position right now where funds that we were allowed to carry forward from federal year 20 into 2021, we are likely going to need to revert a substantial amount of those dollars back to the federal government unless Congress passes through the appropriations bill an extension of that period. If the carry forward period could be extended, maybe going one more year forward, those funds could be used. But where we are right now is, while we certainly are at no risk whatsoever of order of selection, we have ample funds to serve all eligible individuals. We are indeed at risk of not meeting our maintenance of effort requirements, as are many other states. So Connecticut will likely be seeking a waiver, as well as all those other states that are under the same conditions as a result of the pandemic, to try and, you know, not get a penalty for not being able to meet the waiver, frankly, through no fault of the state VR programs, but certainly because of the pandemic. At this point, I'm certainly happy to take any questions that folks may have. And we also have Andrew Norton lined up, and Andrew can talk about the state budget a little bit and also about legislation at the state level, but I'm happy to answer any questions. We also have Mary Burgard on the phone if folks have other program specific questions.
Ryan, this is Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. I have a question. My recorder's not working today, so I just want to make sure I get this right. So the free IRA to BESBE clients is going to help the Department of Transportation determine, and if you could just finish that for me.
They want to assess the level of satisfaction and access to community transportation for folks that are blind. Not, you know, all of the transportation systems within Connecticut, the Connecticut Transit oversees or coordinates with. And also, basically, community access. The people are taking public transit to get places. And so this funding would scoop up the use of the IRA product in all of those environments. IRA is a fee-for-service model where people have to purchase a service plan in order to get so many minutes of IRA. And then when you utilize it, the the operators, the assistants that you get on the phone, they're using your smartphone's camera to help you navigate.
Right.
So